Shabbat everyone. My name is Dadi Isha Abel Nahalia and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. And with that, I'd like to turn over to Dadi Isha Abel Hannah.
My name is Audrey Labelhan, and I want to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to return to the chosen God as a visual label now entering the sanctuary. Now I turn it over to the great priest in the happy hour.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and welcome home, Saints of Yahweh. It's great to see you here. You'll all be seated. Okay, what we're going to do today is we're going to go over the foundation of the house of Yahweh. And I was given an inspiration for this verse. It says, Yahshua and his donkeys are the foundation, and Yisrael and his donkeys are the finishing. And I put this verse into the gematria. And one of the numbers that came up was 4318, and it was under the Jewish gematria. And this is from the gematrix.org on the website. And it comes from 4317, and it means a leading or bringing into the presence of. It also means that it's associated with the thought of freedom to enter through the assistance of another. Now, what does that point to? Who is assisting us into this kingdom of Yahweh in these last days? Can I hear that again, please? And he is being guided by who? Yahshua. Now, 4317 means to lead toward, also to bring or draw near. And he is leading us toward the kingdom of Yahweh. He is showing us and guiding us and teaching us what we need in order to be a part of this kingdom in these last days. It also comes from 72, and it means, now this describes pastor to a T. It means a bringing up, a mode of living, a manner of life, such as a teaching. He is teaching not only us here, but he is teaching the whole world through the guidance and inspiration of Yahshua, who is under the headship of Yahweh. It also means a training and a discipline. He is one of the most trained and disciplined persons that I know in the house of Yahweh, of Yahweh's laws. And he has the mercy and kindness of Yeshua and Yahweh to teach us lovingly, guiding the house of Yahweh. Now, another thing that I did was I took Yahshua, it's the foundation, and I broke it down into two phrases. And the first phrase, can I have the second one? The second phrase is Yisrael and his donkeys are the finishing. Yisrael and his donkeys are the finishing. Now that number was 2168, and it's a primary root, and we're to compare it to 2167, and it means to trim a vine, prune. Now, who is trimming and pruning us under Pastor Yisrael? Who is actually trimming the vine for us and Pastor is guiding us? Do we know who's doing the trimming? Who's actually trimming the vine? Is that Yahshua? Because Yahshua is the vine, but Yahweh is actually the vine keeper, and he is actually guiding Yahshua. Yahshua has proved himself worthy in these last days, and Yahshua is reaching out to the branches, and he is teaching us everything that we need to do. He's fine-tuning everything. Yisrael is just so joyful in doing what Yahshua asked him to do that we can see it in every word he says, every step he takes, every work that he does. Okay, now the second number comes from the English gematria, and it's 2454, and it's a collateral form of 2451, which means wisdom. And they say, every wise woman. Hey, remember last Sabbath, the overseer was speaking about the holy women of new Now, who are the holy women of Nu? If you know who it is, raise your hands. That's right. We are the holy women of Nu in this generation. And he brought this out because he said, they've spoken about the women of old. Now is the time to speak of the women of Nu. Now, I took the holy women of Nu and put it in the gematria. And if I could have my next one. Oh, you have it already. Okay. Now, the Jewish gematria, it was 2617, comes from 2616. And it means kindness by implication. And that those words in parentheses were actually in the Strong's Concordance red letter edition. Toward Yahweh. Very rarely does the Strong's Concordance ever use the name Yahweh. But in this specific sense, in this specific word, it actually says toward Yahweh. So the overseer is bringing us, the women of Nu, and he's bringing us forward toward Yahweh so that we can be his servants in these last days, so that we can bring forth the teachings that the overseer is bringing and guiding us with, so that when these women come from this war-torn world and this destruction that is coming upon the world in these last days, we, the women of Nu, that's you and me, are going to be there with loving kindness, mercy, righteousness. We are going to be merciful. We are going to have the 13 attributes of Yahweh because Pastor gave them to us and taught us to them. Now, the number two, in general, it means there's three basic meanings which always interact with this word. It's strength, steadfastness, and love. Those are the attributes of Yahweh, strength, steadfastness, and love. And it also refers to the rights and obligations between the parties of a relationship, especially Yahweh and Israel. Okay, now it goes on. There's other things that go with it. Now, this is the last one that I did. It's bringing the women back to Yahweh. That is what Yahweh has inspired Yisroel Hawkins to do. And I did the gematria in that, and it's 8117. It comes from 8110, which means guardianship, something preserved. 8104, 8105 means something preserved. 8104 means to guard, protect, attend to, keep. It means to keep in the sense of taking care of. That is, Pastor, to the absolute letter of everything that this says. Now we want to, find my last one. Now we want to you to remember these words. Yisroel, Yeshua and his donkeys are the foundation. Yisroel and his donkeys are the finishing. And the finishing is wisdom of every woman. And with that, we'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, House of Yahweh. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. Shabbat shalom. So it's interesting how Yahweh works, because what she was talking about, the holy women of Nu, kind of flows into what I would like to be speaking about today. Now, the great training that Overseer was put through whenever he was a young child, the very primary years, like the ages from the womb to 6 years old, are very crucial years for our child, because this is whenever the neurons or our nerve brain cells are making these connections, and they're firing like crazy, and they're setting up the strong pathways of what our brain's going to keep based on the teachings that we're receiving. So just keep that in mind, because this also reminds me of Samuel and Moshe, and there's other examples, but mainly Samuel and Moshe, because they were trained at a very, very young age, and that training, it was like a core foundation for them as they grew up, and they were guiding millions and, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people. So the first number I want to share with you is 2088. This 2088, what's very interesting is it keeps popping up. And if you turn over to Daniel chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And this is showing, Daniel is showing us that these are the two witnesses that he was seeing, right? So going over to verse 1, it says, "And at that time will Micaiah stand up, the great ruler who stands at Abel for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to that same time. And at the time of your and at that time your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found written in the book of life." Now there's lots of things going on in that particular scripture. One, Micaiah is also known as he who rules as Yahweh. So Yisrael Hawkins is he who rules as Yahweh, will stand up, the great ruler who stands for the children of your people. And this leads me into another thing that I want to speak about, because Overseer has been setting up these, since he's established the house of Yahweh, putting it in our minds how important it is to diligently train and teach our children. When we walk on the road, he's all like, how many times do you wake up? How many times do you go to bed? So with that in mind, there's different things like the lamp lighting that we are learning about, the children's Be Teachers class, the Learn to Grow series, the Yisrael Ask program, and the House of Yahweh board games. And these are creative ways in order to engage with our children, to make it a common place to speak scriptures with our little people. Now, here's what's interesting. Back to the 2088, because this right here, I like to connect it to Overseer because it's always saying on this side, the man on that side. And we can link that with that scripture, Daniel 12:5, that specifically is talking about the two witnesses. So with 2088, we have in the Gematria, who is the olive branch? Who is the olive branch, 2088, under the authority of Yeshua, high priest, 2088. And the next one is empty the golden oil through them, 2088. You see how this 2088 is a very strong number that keeps popping out, and it's pointing directly to the witness. Now, here's what's also amazing is the mouth of Yahweh commanded me, saying, put in the Gematria, where is the Yisrael Ask program? And this program is encouraging the children to not only answer questions, but to ask questions themselves. And just to go back and forth with the children answering and asking these questions. And the where is the Yisrael Ask program? The number is 2088. I find that super amazing. I would like to turn to Isaiah. With this specific scripture, I wanted to look at, 44 starts off talking about the two witnesses, right? And then on verse 3, it says, in the middle of it, it says, I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Not teaching about the house of, talking about the house of Yahweh and the children. They will spring up among the grass as well as by the water's courses. Now, to bring to your remembrance, when you put in the Gematria, verse 3 and 4, it comes out to 2483, when the house of Yahweh was established. And I thought that was interesting to mention. And if you look over to Yael chapter 2, verse 28, and it says, and it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Overseer is doing an amazing work in these last days by teaching us how to teach ourselves, and not only that, but to teach our children diligently so they can fulfill this prophecy in a very timely manner. Praise Yahweh. Now with this, I would like to go ahead and hand it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, righteous saints. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Making a Lasting Impression. How many of us remember when our overseer spoke about the year of impression? Referring to the work that the house of Yahweh is engaged in with our children. Any hands? Year of impression? Okay, one hand. Okay, all right. I remember how amazed I was when I heard that. And Pastor went on to say how around 4 years old is the year of impression. And I immediately thought back to the year I was asked to work with 22 four-year-olds and how reluctant I was. I remember saying something like, me? They're so little. What can I do with them? And my supervisor said, I think you will do fine. Well, I wasn't that confident, but I accepted. And looking back, those were some of the best years I've ever had. And I see some moms nodding because you have some four-year-olds, don't you? I learned that four-year-olds were capable of learning a lot more than I anticipated. They were eager to learn, eager to please, and willing to adjust and change. But I thought about the impression that Pastor is referring to and realized he was aiming for something bigger, better, and lasting. He was bringing forth a work with our children, four-year-olds and us older children, a work that is making a lasting impression on their minds. So I went to the dictionary to get a better understanding of the word impression to see what exactly is Pastor getting at. And the first meaning from Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, a characteristic, trait, or feature resulting from some influence. Think about the positive character traits that are being built, impressed upon a child's mind as they get to speak, teach a class, and participate in any aspect of teaching. Respect. They become knowledgeable. They become zealous. And I remember a few young ladies. It was so, we had to do a lot of nudging and pushing to get them to even stand up in front of a group. And I remember one speech class I listened, she was up there. I didn't hear anything, but it was wonderful. She was up there. And now, great teacher. Praise Yahweh. The second meaning, an effect or alteration or improvement. It's not always evident the righteous effect the impression is having, nor is the improvement readily available. But sisters, does that mean that the impression is not being made? No, it doesn't. But as we layer the impression with kindness, patience, and zeal for what we are doing, we will see the positive effect. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you, in me, in our children, will continue to do it, will continue to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. A third meaning is a telling image impressed on the senses or mind. Sisters, what image are we impressing on our children's mind? Yahweh, correct? Yes? Nod your heads if you agree with me. Yes, yes. One way to do this is reviewing Sabbath notes with our children and showing a keen interest in what they learned from each speaker. One of my go-to questions that I like to use is, tell me in your own words what Pastor talked about or spoke on, like a particular topic. Tell me in your own words. And that's a great way to gauge what they got from Pastor's sermon. Another thing you can do is you can make a set of question and answer cards for them to match up. Younger children, you can write questions on them for them to answer. They can pull it from a basket or hat. Older children can write their own questions about what was taught that Sabbath for the whole family to answer. And one other thing that I really enjoy, I don't know about a lot of people don't like homework. They hate homework. I love homework, frankly. And so when Pastor and the Kohans or the Kohanas give us homework, I love it. And so I was doing a little bit of research on the word renew, and guess what? The children wanted to join in as well. So I brought just a sample of what one of our students did. Yahweh, renew our hearts with a clean and holy spirit. There it is. And there's another one. Okay. And she made that very, very pretty, very, very beautiful. Again, it's with renew. But giving them that opportunity because they really, really want to learn and to grow alongside with us and our overseer. So let's continue to join with our overseer in this work of making a lasting impression on our children's minds. As it says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, reverence Yahweh by observing, keeping his laws, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yahweh will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is righteous or whether it is evil. It is from the impression we help make on our children's minds, they will pull from to make decisions. Let us make only the impressions that will be able to last forever. As we say here in the great house of Yahweh, if it's not forever, praise Yahweh. Please stand and welcome our next speaker.
Shalom, holy women of New. Please be seated. The other day, in preparing for this message, I was going in my Strongs, getting to the number I wanted to go to. But my eye fell on another number in the process. It was number 5707. And I had it underlined, so I thought, let me just take a minute here and read this. And it meant a witness. And in the Hebrew, that number is Ed. Can I have the first page, please? And if you look at Ed, that's what that means. And if you look at it, I did the gematria on Ed, and when you add the three numbers together, it comes to 72. Now, that's going to tie in with the holy women of New, of what I'm going to speak about. Well, before I did that, I thought, well, the next time I get an opportunity to speak with the overseer, I'm going to call him Ed. And so I did. He called him and I said, I'm calling you Ed. And he's like, why would you call me Ed? And I said, I'll call you Ed because the scripture says it's a witness, and you're a witness. So he just like, okay, click. So now we're going to focus on the holy women of New. And I know you saw these numbers before by the great Kohana ahead of me, so I'm not going over those. But when I put that in, I also put in the holy helpmeets of New. Because in Genesis, Yahweh said that Adam, there was no one to be a helpmeet for Adam. Until Genesis 2, verse 23, we can put that next one up. Genesis 2, I have that one. Genesis 2, 23, and you can see that there is where he called his helpmeet woman. Notice that 2:23 backwards is 3:22. Is that a coincidence, or are you thinking that maybe we were foreordained way back then to help in these last times as the women of New. So that number 322, I'm reminding you that that's the overseer's tag number that Yahweh gave him a long, long time ago, brought forth in these last days on his van, 322. So the word help me, let's look at that one. It's, if you go to the Strong's, it's number 5828. Now, is that not amazing that in that word help meet, you have the overseer's birth date, 828. Remember, that number, 828, belongs to the overseer. That number 5, I'm going to show that it belongs to the holy women of New. Now, it's in the scriptures 21 times, which I thought was pretty interesting. For on 7707, which is three sevens, 21, Pastor had a vision of gold flakes falling. And he said, try to figure out what this means. And I think Yahweh showed me what this means. I think that we, the holy women of New, were those gold flakes falling before the pastor's very eyes. But that's just my thought on the whole thing. But in the Bollinger's, the number 5 represents strength. And it represents a sparing. And in Bollinger's, he explains that we were given 5 senses. We were given 1, the hearing, so that we could hear the message of the kingdom. Matithia 24:14. We were given the eyes to see the written word, the publishing. Yachanan Mark 13:10. And then he went on to explain that your hands have 5 fingers each. So that is to do the work that once you put those, that understanding that's given by our 828, the pastor's birth date, and we put that in our mind, it goes into our heart. From our heart comes out with what our hands do. And he also explained that our feet have 5 toes each to show that we are to walk in the way of Yahweh. And I just thought that whole thing was like so amazing. So In thinking of all that, I thought of the woman, you can keep, no, not that one. Yet. The woman Ya'il in Judges. And that's in Judges chapter 5, no less, talking about the number 5, where if you remember what she did, she went in and delivered Israel from the hands of Sisera. She drove that pen stake through his temple. And her name is in the scriptures 23 times, and that means father of gathering. Holy women of Yahweh, we are ones that are going and are ordained to help the overseer. The 5 is helping the overseer, 828, to bring in the gathering of the women. It says here in Ya'il chapter 5 that Ya'il was most blessed among women. We, the holy women of Nu, are the most blessed of all generations. We are going to be talked about. We are going to be explaining these things to all the other women. And we have this awesome, awesome responsibility under the 828, pastor's birth date, Israel Abel Hawkins. So I thought, well, Ya'il, even her name only has 5 letters. So I'm thinking, this is all just really pretty great. But I thought, you know, if you took out the A, like they say in Hebrew, you know, they have vowel points. I said, what if I took out the A and just put YH, which is Israel Hawkins. When he signs his name, you know it's YH when he approves something. And then YL, which means strength. And I put that in the gematria. And you can see what that comes up to. 828, which is like so amazing. Once again, we see the overseer's birth date. 828. Only Yahweh could bring this all about. Only he could make this work out. But look at the other numbers. Now, as she lifts up that other paper, you'll see last week we went over the name Yahweh. And to show how how Yahweh is so, so connected to our overseer in these last days, you see the numbers in Yahweh, 420 and the 70 is the same as in YHYL, Israel, the strength. 42070. I would love that my number would come up with Yahweh's numbers, but you know what? I'm a number 5, and I'm putting my hand to this work just as the holy women of New in this room are. So remember, our hand is set to do the work. Only to be obedient unto the one that Yahweh has sent can we have success. So I know you're in unity when I say, blessed is Israel Hawkins who comes in the name of Yahweh. May Yahweh be, Yahweh is glorified.
Please be seated. Did everyone enjoy our speakers this morning? I got a question for you. Who wants to hear from Ed today? Okay, so without any further delay, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom. At this time, we get to hear from the great Deacon Michael Osler.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us. If you'll turn over quickly, we got a lot to cover, to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, that's found on page 978. Revelation 12 on page 978. We're going to move rather quickly here. Okay, I got to explain some things here. So, and we're going to start at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. And Satan started a war in heaven. Micaiah fought with her Malachim, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with her angels. Now, we're going to cover that in a moment. But did not prevail, nor was there a place, note, found in heaven, any more found in heaven for her. She was not allowed to be there anymore. Now, let's look over at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. She was cast into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom, and the kingdom of our Father, and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers is cast down, who accused them before our Father day and night. Okay, let's look down to verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, all the inhabitants of the heavens. So, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because she knows she has but a short time. She was no longer allowed to be in heaven, anywhere in heaven. She was cast to the earth, there was a judgment made, and she was told to go where she needed to be put for the court judgment to be followed through. Now, let's look back to verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Okay, Yahweh doesn't war. Yahshua Messiah doesn't war. Yisrael Hawkins in the house of Yahweh, we do not war. Not in any way, shape, or form. That's a Catholic doctrine. The gods war, man wars, without Yahweh's knowledge, guidance, and his laws, or the one sent. So, Micaiah, well, we know from Daniel 12:1, that's Yisrael Hawkins. So, Yisrael Hawkins strives with his servants to bring forth the message of the kingdom day and night, and Satan has started a war against Yahweh's house to try and stop him and us. So let that be certain in your minds and very, very clear. We don't war in any way, shape, or form. We care for one another. We love one another. We serve one another, and we guide and help each other, right? Praise Yahweh. Okay, let's get into the codes. The codes cover a lot of this, and there was... The codes actually show what went through the minds of Hillel and her gods when they saw these things coming at the planet. So let's get into this. There's my chart. Okay. All right. So let me get my... All right, so the main was war in heaven, and that's right here. War in heaven. Now I'm going to go a little quick here. War in heaven. Now, the first thing that came up was right here. And that was the Hebrew year 1991 to 1992. Now, in that year, 1991 to 1992, the comet broke into 21 fragments and traveled through space for 2 years before it even hit the planet. So in that year, 1992, it broke into fragments, into the 21 fragments. Now it starts getting into judgment. So over here, and this was all together, casting out by Yahweh's authority. Okay? Casting out by Yahweh's authority. Okay? And where was she cast out from? Okay? If we look right here, this long line, not these here. I'll try and speak a little louder so we don't get a hum. Right here is Jupiter. Okay? Then we have Comet. We have Comet right there. And this was legal, and it was an ultimatum. It was a legal ultimatum brought forth that was established in the courts of Yahweh Shema that she was not allowed to be on Jupiter anymore. That's heaven. She wasn't allowed in heaven. She was supposed to be cast to the earth. Now, the next one, kind of look here, right here is pounding. And remember, I remember one of the articles that said, in the news article, it said, Jupiter is receiving a pounding, or is being pounded at this time. Pounding. And then right up here is universal. Okay, so Jupiter started getting hit. And the next things that started coming up, I mean, I couldn't believe these things were coming up. Right here we have Hillel, demons. Hillel, and demons crosses it. Now I want to note, the skip on this was 9043. Well, there's no Hebrew or Greek word 9043, so I went 943. And I looked this up after these coming words. And they go right along with the words that came up in the code. So let's go back to the code. Okay, so again we have Hillel and demons. Then we have perplexed. Perplexed. Okay. Then we have scared. Scared. Then we have, and this is all in this one word, the meanings, panic, dread, fright, terror. They were freaking out when they saw these things coming towards their planet. Now note, the comet hit the lowest part of the planet, the lower southern hemisphere. And I was talking with Pastor Israel, and I don't believe Yahweh wanted to hurt them in any way, but they were to follow the instructions given to them by the courts of Yahweh Shema that they were not allowed to be in heaven anymore. And Jupiter was the largest planet. It was given to her to guide and monitor mankind's progress. But of course, she trespassed on the earth, and of course, here we are now. But I don't think he wanted to hurt them. He just wanted to warn them with the ultimatum that you are to go to earth. You're not allowed in heaven anymore. Okay, let's go back to the codes. The next thing that followed after the scared, perplexed and confused, panic, dread, and fright, and terror is right here. Crying, angry wife. Crying, angry wife. Because she was so angry, it started bringing her to tears. Then, seeking retaliation, that was in her heart and mind, to retaliate against Yahweh in any way she could. But the last thing that came up, HOY, guarded and kept safe. HOY, guarded and kept safe. And of course, at this time, Jupiter is at the closest part of the earth that it's been in a long time. You can see it in the evening after sunset, around 10, you look in the east, you can see it. It's very clear. If you got binoculars, you can actually see the moons. It's so close, and there's a significance to that. So remember, we don't war. That's the gods. That's mankind's way. That's Satan's way. So I encourage everybody to always remember these things, and for more information on the war in heaven, you can look at Unveiling Satan or the Nuclear Baby book. So with that, if you'll all please stand. Yahweh bless your feast. Have a great feast. This time I have the honor and privilege to turn over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. We're going to continue today on this topic we've been working on about the work of the house of Yahweh during the so-called missing week of Daniel. That's how confused the Christian world is. Turn over to Daniel 9. You know, it's the missing week. Where did it go? Well, we're in the middle of it right now. If they haven't figured that out already, if they haven't been paying attention. But remember our work in Daniel 9:24, at 70 weeks are determined upon your people. This is for the entire plan of Yahweh. And no, it just didn't take 70 weeks. It took 70 weeks of years with times in between the times of action. And we'll get back to that later on this feast, verse 24. But for right now, look down at verse 27. And he will confirm a covenant with Rabin for 1 week, 7 years. And that was a 7-year agreement. Okay, make no mistake about it. This is Yahweh's main thing that he's concerned with here is these 7 years of action. And that's what we need to keep our minds on, you know, during the midst. And we are into the midst right now if we're not out of it, like Pastor said last week. It is starting in 1393 was when the Oslo Agreement was signed. And then it went into effect on 10/13/93, and it was a 7-year plan. We'll see more about that. Our sound man at the time caught that on the news, that it was a 7-year plan that they worked on. And remember, this was signed on the White House lawn between the Palestinians, represented by Yasser Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas, and the Israelis. They had Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres, Secretary of State Warren Christopher, all right? And then representatives of Russia also. But this was a 7-year plan. Then in 1997, another prophecy started to be fulfilled. If you turn over to Yael, we're going to rehearse this a little bit to get it firm in our mind here. Of these prophecies, because they are sure they are coming to pass. The ones that already came to pass should prove to anyone that the rest of the prophecies is going to take place. But in Yael 2:14, who knows if he may turn. Now, it's not Yahweh turning and repenting, but that they may turn. That blowing the trumpet didn't take place till a certain time period. In 1997, little did we know that the peace plan was about to get shut down, all right? And we saw this with this work started in Israel in earnest in the third Roman month of 1997 here. And the first thing, the very first meeting we had, now, Pastor had been to Israel before that, showing him, trying to show these things, and we'll see a few things that were tried, and it didn't go through because it wasn't Yahweh's time. But turn over to Yekezkiah 40. This was the first thing that, and hold your place there, and turn over to Revelation 11. Because the very first prophecy that we ever knew about, that I was ever shown about the two witnesses, it started with Revelation 11. And then when Yahweh opened up the understanding, Revelation 11 and Isaiah 44, then as Yahweh opened up our minds and Pastor kept teaching us and teaching us and teaching us, we saw more. But the first thing we learned about the two witnesses was in Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod. And the Moloch stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar in its confines where they worship within. But the court which is outside the temple," verse 2, "leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, the nations." And we'll see more about this here as we go through the feast. "And the holy city they will tread underfoot 42 moons. And I will give power and authority to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices and they will foretell. They will foretell. We're going to get deeper into that as we go along. They will foretell. I don't see anybody else, and you can't find anything else in any of the other prophecies of who will foretell events, any events in the future, but specifically about the 1,260 days, those cast about with darkness. That's the last half of the 7 years. The last half. They prophesy about this. But it includes this message about the temple that we brought to them. And the very first meeting, as we spoke about, was held in Tel Aviv at a journalist location. It's called the Journalist House there in Tel Aviv. And Pastor performed the prophecy in Yekezkiah 40, verse 2. Well, let's look down to verse 4 and the very last phrase. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. Look up at verse 3. Then he took me there. Then behold, a being, manlike, whose appearance resembled bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand. He stood in the clearing or opening. This is Pastor here with the measuring rod, ready to measure this temple that had never been built. Yekezkiah's temple has never been built according to the exact measurements. The proportions are the same. That's another topic. But the actual measurements have never been used. So this is not, this was a prophecy. I'll read you some more. I don't want to get bogged down and get repetitive here. But on 3/10/97, Israel Hawkins, Kohan David Hammerman, and myself, we held this press conference, and we showed him this pattern for the very first time. All right? The very first time anyone had showed or taught or spoken about Yekezkiah's temple. The very first time to all the journalists, and they put it in the news here for the entire country to read. I wanted to read to you one more article here about the plan, about the press conference that we brought out. It says, the plan to build the temple in the ways of peace and with acceptance by the Arabs. Most of the world leaders usually speak about peace, while at the same time, actually, they are making preparations for war. I'll tell you, the way they wrote these articles, it was really like Pastor wrote a newsletter. It's really amazing what Yahweh inspired to go out to the entire country because of this meeting. And Pastor had tried before, met with other small groups, the Temple Institute and so on, and they agreed that this message was right, that we had the answers, but it never got widespread publicity or spread around the country until a certain time. Okay, until a certain time, until Yahweh's time. But the real danger exists if the Mediterranean region, they call it the Mediterranean region, it's the Middle East, remember, in and around the great river Euphrates, they didn't know all the prophecies, these article writers, where interests which are vital to the powerful nations and to the world exist. The Arab-Israeli conflict that has tried to be solved in peaceful solutions may cause a world explosion and a fatal war as long as the problem of the Temple Mount is not solved to the satisfaction of the Arabs and Jews alike. And the entire Muslim world is looking toward this plan between Israel and Palestine, and especially the dividing of Jerusalem, okay, as the means of peace, and stymieing it and shutting it down and coming against it like occurred only serves to rile things up even more. Because we know that that plan, that covenant that they signed with Rabin, they think they got the way to bring peace. But the only means thing that they have to be able to bring is war. They just can't see it because they're leaving out the real peaceful solution. This was related by the Jewish American author and historian Israel Hawkins at a press conference. Israel Hawkins said at the press conference that all it takes is for one fanatic from either side to set up the fire of war, especially in light of the permanent tension which exists between the Arabs and Jews, particularly on issues of Jerusalem on Temple and the Temple Mount. According to Hawkins, the Dome of the Rock was not built on the site where the temple was built, and the original location of the temple is about 100 meters northeast of the Dome of the Rock. This fact enables the rebuilding of the temple next to the Dome of the Rock on a vacant piece of land by ways of peace and acceptance of the Arabs by conducting negotiations that may last several years, which they did, and by teaching and presenting data and facts that will convince them that Muslims and Jews can pray side by side in private without interrupting each other. And then the article goes to showing about some of Yekeskiah's prophecies here about the city of Tyre. The prophecy was made in 585 BY. They said BCE. They didn't know. But then it didn't actually take place until much later, 332 BCE, under the hands of Alexander the Great, after the siege that lasted for 7 months. And this is another proof to the truthfulness in the visions of the prophet Yekeskiah. So Pastor was teaching him at that time that fulfilled prophecy is proof that we can trust the scriptures. And that's what he's been driving into our minds and hearts all these years about this. And showing in Yekeskiah 40 verse 5 that there was an adjoining separation, a dividing structure around the temple, that Hawkins adds and says, never in the history of the temple did it exist without an outer court. Yet there never was, next to the Temple Mount, or temple on the Temple Mount, a Muslim structure. There never was, so they never had to worry about it. It never existed until not in the last days, but in the early Middle Ages is when they built it. But it was never an issue until the last days on the rebuilding. Also, they mentioned about Asher Kaufman's work, that he showed beyond a doubt that the first and second temples were situated exactly in one direct line with the Golden Gate, the Eastern Gate. And so there's no doubt about this temple and about the facts. And that's what the article says, that the facts would be shown. Hawkins calls upon all leaders of the region, including Benjamin Netanyahu, Yasser Arafat, Hosni Mubarak. He was the prime minister of Egypt at the time, or king of Egypt, whatever he was, King Hussein of Jordan. All right, this is who he mentioned, and we'll see a bit later that he met with their representatives to take great action in order to realize and implement Yekeskiah's vision for real peace. As a matter of fact, when we first had our meeting with our people that we were working with in Israel, they were astounded at this. And the man said to Pastor, he said, "You are the modern day Yekeskiah," he said. And I'm telling you, this man was very sincere and is very still sincere about this work today. All right. So we see that Israel Hawkins and the house of Yahweh showed them, as prophesied and commanded by Yahweh and Ya'il too there in Yekeskiah 40, to declare all that you see to the house of Israel. First, he declared to them the name of Yahweh. Pastor never once shrank back from using the name Yahweh at all in front of them, even though that was the one name they would never pronounce. Then he showed them the prophecies of Yahweh. You know, the prophecies of the temple, but he also showed in this war, remember he talked about this fatal war, he's talking about the all-out nuclear war that Daniel spoke about there that's coming along with these other prophecies. just as sure as there's a building to the south of the temple where the temple used to stand, south of that original spot, there's a building there now. Just as sure as that's a fact, and you can see it with your own eyes, as sure as that's true, so are the nuclear wars that are coming. And he showed them this destruction and why. Why at the hands of man's government, okay? And these are the days closed with darkness. Pastor also showed him, before it actually existed in book form, he was teaching him the Peaceful Solution character education program. How two peoples could live side by side without trying to change one another, kill one another, destroy one another, or destroy each other's property, how they could live peacefully side by side. He was teaching them the character education program. That was the whole lesson of this temple. It was the character education program. And then over the years, Pastor made 7 trips to the land of Israel declaring this. I told you before that certain things couldn't take place, one of which was getting into the Knesset. Pastor told us years ago how when they tried to not force their way in, but make some calls and demand to get into the Knesset on this one trip, that when they left, they started going through their luggage and throwing it on the tarmac and all this, but it wasn't Yahweh's time. But during those 7 years, we met with 14 members of Knesset, high-ranking members, ministers. These were part of the cabinet, ministers of education, minister of security. We met with Shimon Peres, sat at a table, Pastor and Shimon Peres having a one-on-one conversation. And it was Shimon Peres said, "This will work. You just got to watch the teachers," was what Shimon Peres said. Amazing. We met with, there's so many here, the actual president of Israel at that time, Azer Weitzman. He met with Omar Rifai, the ambassador of Jordan. Now, that ambassador of Jordan answers directly to King Hussein, or did in those days. King Hussein has since died. Mohammed Bassiouni, ambassador of Egypt. These are these leaders' direct representatives. All right, we met with David Bar-Ilan, who is Netanyahu's number one advisor. Okay, to give him the very same message, not only about the temple, but about the character education, what would really change the hearts and minds of the people. Then, like I said, 14 members of Knesset, various mayors of cities all over Jerusalem. Pastor told us about Daniel Vaknin, the mayor who was a general in the army, and the only thing he knew was war. And he was shocked when, you know, there's a program that can teach us to get along with our enemies. We don't have to destroy them, though, those who disagree. We can come to agreement. Also, there's just so many. We met in Abilene, Israel, and there was already a school ran by a Catholic guy, but they still, in Abilene, wanted the Peaceful Solution to build a school, and we actually visited and saw the land that we're going to use one day. We are going to use it. We are going to have a school for peace there. There's no doubt about it. Okay, it's not time yet. You can't force these things. As we'll see tomorrow, more in detail here about these prophecies and about the stopping of the 3.5 years and what it means and what took place during this midst. A lot of things took place, but Yahweh wants us to keep our minds on the fact that it's a 7-year plan of action. 7 years. 7 years. You're going to hear this over and over this feast, 7-year plan. With that, if everyone will please stand, it's now my great honor and privilege to turn the services over to the great Kohan Benjamin Hawkins.
Stop, think. Yahweh's peace be with you. Please be seated. Okay, we're going to, if we could please have the first title slide. We're going to do part two of this time of war that we talked about last Sabbath. You remember some of these deep, we'll go over a few of the details here in the beginning here. Can I have the first slide? Okay. By the way, 5/12 just went by a few days ago, and I'm sure everybody here was wondering what took place on 5/12 this year. Well, keep wondering, okay? But something took place, and Yahweh gave a very, very awesome sign to his house that you're going to learn about at some point. I don't know when we'll get to it, but April 7 was the date. And if you'll look at this gematria for April 7, 2019, and it was Omer 21 on 5/12. Okay, if you'll notice, 523 is the number you get. Well, what is 523? We heard something about 23 in the number 5 this morning, but it points back to a Feast of Pentecost, the extended Feast of Pentecost in 2015, when Pastor told us on 523:15 about that 5/12 dream for the first time. Okay, that Yahweh's in full control, all right? And if you'll notice, 5/12 dream, Pentecost 2000, 15, you get 5/12 and 3072, okay? 3072 means Yahweh Zitkanu in Hebrew, and it means Yahweh's our righteousness. And that was one of the scriptures that he spoke about on 5/23/15. He only went to two different places on the 23rd, 5/23/15. He went to Jeremiah 23 and Psalm 23. Those were the only two scriptural references he made that whole sermon. Okay, and in that, it talks about this branch being sent in the last days, and that this is the name that he will proclaim to them, or to us, Yahweh Zitkanu, Yahweh our righteousness, okay? And remember, Yahweh Zitkanu is 1074 in gematria. Can I have my next slide? There's also another number associated with Yahweh Zitkanu, which is 1840, and it means Daniel, okay? And Daniel spoke about, in Daniel 12:7, where this last 3.5 years, seven-year time period is spoken of, that the great Kohan just spoke about, he says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and vowed by him who lives forever, you know, that there would be a time, it would be for a time, time, and dividing of times." When you put in man clothed in linen, who on that future day is teaching, you'll also get 5/12 and 3072 with those meanings that I just showed you. And you'll see here, he vowed in Daniel 12:7 is 3:22, pastor's tag, okay? It's showing you that this is the one that vowed these things would take place in this time period. Can I have my next slide? Okay, so This is, and I'm going to have to use worldly names because these are names that were being in use at that time, but the May 23rd, 1994 issue of Time Magazine. I want you to notice it's about the war on Jupiter. You see those 21 fragments headed toward the planet in this cosmic crash. I want you to notice a number off to the side there. Would you believe that's the number of the issue of the magazine? 21. 21. All we did was blow it up. That's the only number on there, 21. Now, what's the significance of that? We'll see here in a minute. Can I have my next slide? Pastor told us in Unveiling Satan, page 2, that Yahweh carefully thought out this plan for war. And that means that Yahweh doesn't promote war, but Yahweh allowed certain things to take place to make sure that, you know, boundaries were kept. And Satan, did what she was supposed to do, which was get off of Jupiter and get here to this earth. It says 21, he mentions the word 21 that hit the planet is prophetic. The number 21 is made up of 3 sevens. The number 7 is Yahweh's complete number. And the fact that there was 21 of these boulders, or what we call hailstones in Scripture, or sling stones, the fact that these 21 equals 3 sevens makes it even more obvious that this war comes from Yahweh's command, or that Yahweh allowed this to take place. That war in heaven, or that magazine, that issue of Time Magazine, came out exactly 21 years to the day that Pastor had that 5:23 dream in 2015. 21 years exactly, 3/7, showing Yahweh's in full control. Now, this year, I was on the phone with Pastor on the 23rd of the fifth Roman month. And can I have my next slide? This popped up on my screen. It was Theresa May, okay, and it was showing that she was getting ready to resign. And it said, end of May, hours away. This is the Drudge Report on May 23rd, 2019. Now, on 5/4/19, I mentioned in my sermon that I gave about the Mary, the booklet, Who Do You Worship? I said, May, this is a great time to bring this out because May means Mary. And then on the very last service of this month, this Roman month of May, Pastor said the same thing. But here's behindthename.com about the word May. It comes from the word Maya, the name of a Roman goddess. May is another name of the hawthorn flower. It's also used as the diminutive, meaning a smaller, this is the smaller form of the word, a diminutive of Mary. Mary, okay? So we see the end of May, hours away, on May 23rd on the Drudge Report, or end of Mary, so to speak. Her time is up about. Can we have the next slide? Now, this is from the second book of Israel, chapter 36, verse 80. Pastor says, if you haven't seen a Time magazine dated May 23rd, you might want to get one to look at. They have a picture of the giant eye of Jupiter. Yahweh willing, we'll have this picture on the cover of the prophetic word also. Now, you've heard that in the news over the last few weeks, Jupiter has been in the news because there's something taking place with the great red spot that Pastor just talked about, this giant eye on Jupiter. The great Deacon Michael just alluded to something that'll make sense if you'll listen. This man, Andy Casely, he's an astronomer. He says, he posted this on 5/26/19. He says, I've been imaging and mapping great red spot dramas over the past week. After shedding some giant bands of red material, likely due to interactions with smaller vortices, it's maybe about 5 to 10% smaller, just over a week. Another event is brewing too, he said. Now look, here's the week that he monitored it. Notice the last day on that monitoring? 5/23. 5/23, what a miraculous thing, right? 5/23, can I have my next slide? And that great red spot, take a look at it. Remember what you just heard about a monitoring station. You see that eye? That's right, it's watching, okay? That's what the Catholics and the Freemasons know as the all-seeing eye, okay? Remember, the Catholic Church is called the Holy See, okay? Where the priests of Jupiter reside. You see down here the eye of Horus, or the eye, you know, they call it the eye of Horus. We'll show how that all ties in later. I don't have time today. But you'll notice the great red spot is just an eye. Okay, it's an eye. Can I have my next slide? This was one of the headlines. There's many of them about this unraveling right now taking place on Jupiter's great red spot. It says, Jupiter's great red spot, current unraveling. So I put in great red spot unraveling, and you'll notice here, the 10th book of Israel, part 2, Yisrael Hawkins, it says, chapter 16, verse 98, because that's one of the numbers in that gematria there, 1698, where Pastor talks about an event on Jupiter where later on, after the war in heaven took place, years and years later, a comet almost hit, or something almost hit the earth, and it says, Pastor says, all of a sudden, before something took place, Jupiter got hit again, and the scientists said, how could that be? There wasn't even anything going at it. And they're still puzzled as to how this strike took place and why. But I believe she had something schemed, and Yahweh said, now listen to what he said. This was way back in 2010. I'm in control. You better not try it. Now, is this man not before, I mean, come on, did Yahweh not say he would foretell this? Let them foretell them, the two witnesses, okay? All right, next slide. And Pastor says here in the second book of Israel, chapter 36, verse 80, I'm writing an article to explain this war and to go deeper into the fact that Satan is not male. Yahweh's suffering the same thing that I'm suffering now and the same thing that many others suffer with a rebellious wife. Angry, fearful, rebellious wife. Okay, keep that in your mind. So let's look at, I want you to remember 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8, where it talks about Yahweh's restraining Satan until he's made to appear in the midst, and then that lawless one will be revealed. We're going to look at that gematria right there, because it's going to reveal somebody to you, okay? And remember, we're in the midst, and that's when the revealing takes place. Strong's 4677, that's the first number, and it means obelisks, an idol, image. It's from 5324, and it means appointed, or to establish, fix. Remember their calendar that they use to fix their appointed seasons according to the position of the sun in the sky, which Yahweh told them not to do. But it reveals something else as well. Can we look at the next slide? Says these numbers reveal the so-called sacred pole set up in honor of Yahweh's consort or wife, who they named Asherah, Astarte, Easter, the Queen of Heaven. Yahweh warned Israel not to worship his wife. When he warned them in Deuteronomy 16:21 and 22, he said, you must not plant a tree to be used as a sacred pole or Asherah pole for setting pagan feasts beside the altar which you shall make to Yahweh your father. And you must also not set up a sacred pillar, image of the sun god Baal, for these Yahweh your father hates. And you can read about this Asherah pole on page 84 and 85 of Deceptions. Continuing in this same gematria, the same number, 4677. Can I have the next slide? Greek 4677 means lily. Lily or lilies. From 7797, which means to rejoice and be bright. Remember, that's what Hillel means. 1984 means to be bright, to shine, okay? Lily, this is from Wikipedia. Lily, it says, is a feminine name given directly derived from lily, the flower, derived from a flower that is named. The name is supposed to mean things like pure, innocent, or cute. Lily can be short for Lillian, Liliana, or Lilith. You see that? Lilith. Now, everybody should know who Lilith is because Pastor showed us in Unveiling Satan that Yahweh's wife's name was Lilith. Watch this. Let's go to the next slide. This is from the first book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 94, which ties it in with Jupiter. You see the gematria of Jupiter there, 594. That's one of Jupiter's numbers. You see how Yahweh confirms and verifies everything this man said? Every single word. Do you need to go outside of the house of Yahweh to find the answers, outside the books of Israel or outside of anything that Pastor wrote? No. In fact, Deuteronomy 18:17 said, the nations follow after the familiar spirits, those that have familiar spirits and wizards that peep and mutter. He said, Yahweh has not appointed this to you. He said, I have sent the two witnesses for you to get your information from, not from the gods. You're not going to find anything among the dead. The dead have nothing to offer you. Now, he says in 5 verse 94, he says, you see her in verse 14. He's talking about Isaiah 34:14. The wild beasts of the desert will also meet with the wild beasts on the island and the satyr. This is a showdown, as Isaiah 14:15 says. The demons will cry to his fellow, the screech owl. Now he said, they translated this screech owl. It's actually Lilith or Lucifer, okay? The first wife of Yahweh. And some Hebrew people, scholars, think that it's the wife of Adam, but there's no such record of any such thing. Screech owl, if you'll notice, is 666. That should tell you everything you need to know right there of the being that's behind this, Lilith. And I brought some information on my next slide about that lily flower. Remember the fleur de lis or the lily flower, French for lily flower, 666. And here you see the Queen of Heaven with the fleur de lis or the lily flower above her head here and all these different symbolisms. Okay, this is showing, and by the way, that's not a lily, okay? It's called a spear. Okay, it's not a flower. In fact, you know, lily, that word in Isaiah 34:14 means to twist. It means to twist or spin or pervert. Yahshua gave you a clue. He said, consider the lilies of the field. They neither tend nor they neither toil nor spin. So he showed you there's a difference between them. If you'll pay attention to these words. Can I have my next slide? Now notice this. Consider what you heard this morning over here on this side from the stars of Yahweh. Listen to this. This is the second number, 4368. And it means appointed, installed, ordained, prepared. It's talking about Lucifer, Lilith, who was installed as a protectress. And notice, 4368 in Strong's Greek means a patroness, protectress, a female guardian, a woman to stand before, to preside in rank, set over others, assistant, helper, helpmate, remember? This is showing you Lilith right here. It's exposing and showing you who this lawless one, the first lawless one in the heavens. And also says, referring to a preset, well-established character which provides the needed model to direct others to positively impact them by example. And remember, she was created perfect, okay, until iniquity was found in her. She was a perfect example. Can I have my next slide? In Yeketzkeh 28:12 or 13, he says, you were in the garden of Yahweh, speaking of Lilith. Jump down to verse 14, he says, you were the guardian cherub. And I married you on the holy mountain of Yahweh. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now notice this guardian cherub. It's word number 792 in the Greek, and it means a star. A star. Women of New. You heard that this morning? The holy women of New. I put in women of New. That's what I kept hearing pastors say. So I put in women of New, and I got a star. A star. Remember the stars of Yahweh? It's just, to me, that's remarkable. I don't know how you just can't do backflips right now. Well, I know you're not in a Pentecostal church, so don't do it. But mentally do some flips, okay? All right. I don't want to promote any kind of rowdiness or anything. Okay, so let's look at the next slide. This July 16th war in heaven. Let's look at this first number. It means, 234 means a memorial. Come to remembrance, or remembered. And remembered, Revelation 16:19 says, and great Babylon came in remembrance before Yahweh. 234 in the Greek means pollution, defiled by idols, a polluted thing, contaminated. And look on page 234 of Unveiling Satan, and there she is, right there. Okay, the Queen of Heaven. Let's look at the next slide. 1404 is the next number, and it says, Lady, Queen, Mistress, Lord, Master. Conduct self arrogantly. Remember the pride that she showed? Strong's Greek 1404, a dragon, a monster, serpent. By the way, if you put in monster energy drink in Gematria, it comes up 1404 too. I guess that's why I never drank one of those things. I don't want to. Exercising, notice, it says, exercising subtle impact and accomplishing her hellish agenda from behind the scenes. When you put that in Gematria, it comes out 1054. If you remember, that's the other number of Jupiter, the divider, okay? Remember, accomplishing their agenda from behind the scenes, called the Holy See, okay? And the Freemasons, which we'll learn about more later, the priests of Jupiter. Next slide. The final number, it says 2858, and it means to set a seal, to close up, to make an end. And then 2858 in the Greek means monstrosities. It means horror, evil, atrocity, frightfulness, heinousness. And it means Leviathan. Leviathan. That's what the word monstrosity means, okay? Now, final slide. When you add up all those numbers in July 16th war, you get 4496. And it means space stationed, cast down. From 4496, to cast down, to throw down, to hurl, to throw to the ground, to cast to the ground. Remember Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was cast out, and her angels were cast out with her. I brought out in 2016, that pastor showed, that word with also means after. The demons are also cast out after her at various intervals, which we'll learn about as we go along. And at this time, my time's up. I'm about to be cast off. Hopefully I'll remain here. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to one of Yahweh's great, great priests, the great Kohen Yehuda Hakan.
Shalom. Please be seated. Hope I don't get these pages tied up. Brother and sister, a very interesting thing came to pass today. Pastor called me to look at some verses. Turn to page 3 in your book of Yahweh. It'll be all, everything will be on page 3, except that fly. And we're going to look at Genesis 14 through 16. You don't have to leave there. If you have a Bible, it's Genesis 14, 3, verses 14 through 16, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And on the book of Yahweh, that's page 3. Now, I'm going to read, verse 14 is going to be according to the King James Version of the Bible. And the other two verses I will read as it's currently in the book of Yahweh. So let's start. And Father Yahweh said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, that is, you have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, or shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, verse 15, book of Yahweh. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, your sorrow and your conception shall be greatly multiplied. In pain you shall bring forth children. You must be led by your husband, for he shall rule over you. Now, they make it look like Yahweh is having a temper tantrum. But the interesting thing about this is this. This, when I looked at these scriptures and did the work on this, I had no idea Deacon Michael Ossoff was looking at the war in heaven, or that Kohen Ben was going to look at some parts of the war in heaven alongside of the work I'm doing on this. Because what this here you are looking at is part of one of the early battles of the war in heaven between Satan and the house of Yahweh. That's what this is all about. Now this part here, the war, the part of this battle that started when Satan conned Adam and Eve to quit following Yahweh the way that they should. But this here is what was caused because of it. We're going to read these verses now. I'm going to tell you what these words, all the translation foul-ups that were going on. The words bitterly cursed that are written in Genesis 3:14 are translated from the Hebrew word arur. This word is listed on page 40 of the 88. Whoa, let me try again. Untie that tongue now. This word is listed on page 48 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means to bring on a curse. Now, the way they read this in these scriptures, it looks like Yahweh's ready to haul off and belt everyone on the side of the head. But keep going. Pay attention, please. The word above that is written twice in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word ma, or that's the letter mem, a form of the Hebrew word man. This word is this, that's not man, but man, mem nun. This word is listed on page 498 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means own. The word cattle that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word Bahama. This word is listed on page 100 of volume 2 of the Dictionary of the Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows this word means from a human being and unto beasts, that is, humans and beasts alike. In other words, living things. The word beast that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word ha'it. This word is listed on page 438 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius I, which shows that word means living things. The word field that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word shadad. This word is listed on page 683 of a Hebrew and English lexicon without points by John Parkhurst, which shows this word means ground. The word upon that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word ol. This word is listed on page 758 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 758, which shows this word means remove. The word belly that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word gahun. This word is listed on page 190 of Gesenius Hebrew and Kali Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means to cause, a mother to bring forth. There we go. The words shalt thou eat that are written in Genesis 3:14 are translated from the Hebrew word takal. This word is listed on page 246 of volume 3 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Klein, which shows this word means to destroy, so as to remove from the world. The word life that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word haik. This word is listed on page 204 of volume 1 of the Dictionary of the Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows this word means to live, to remain alive. Okay, it's page 204. That should be volume 3. There's a typo, a typographical error there. The words I will put that are written in Genesis 3:15 are translated from the Hebrew word ashit. The Lingua Sacra by David Levi, volume 3, page 651 in PDF, shows this word means that have set themselves against the roundabout, that fought against me. The word enmity that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word ayaba. There you go. This word is listed on page 70 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Furst. So this word means enemy, hater, despiser, this despiser and blasphemer of Yahweh, to a single enemy, collectively to a hostile people. The word woman that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word asha. The Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament by Coyle and Baumgartner, volume 1, page 43, and Revelation 12, verse 1, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, shows this word means people, a house, Yahweh, distinguished people. The word bruise that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word shufak. This word is listed on page 1430 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Furst. This shows this word means to lavish the shame. In other words, to really pour it out. The word head that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word dorash. This word is listed on page 1271 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, Julius Furst, which shows this word means to conquer. The word bruise that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word tashufanu. This word is listed on page 1433 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament that shows this word means sly or prudent one. The word heal that is written in Genesis 3:15 is translated from the Hebrew word okab. This word is listed on page 1084 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Furst. So this word means behind, at the back. The words pain and sorrow that are written in Genesis 3:16 are translated from and traced back to the Hebrew word otsab. The Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, volume 2, pages 386, 412, and volume 6, page 526, along with Proverb 22:6 and Matthew 5:48, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, so this word means in English to toil, to work, at hard labor. And in Hebrew, dabar, the Hebrew word that means speak, word of Yahweh, teacher of righteousness, teacher of the word of Yahweh, counsel, righteousness, the law, prophecy, wisdom, the words of the prophet, the words of truth, the words of peace, righteousness, book of Yahweh, way of Yahweh, commandment, judgment, deliverance from evil, the promise of Yahweh, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it grows old, it will not depart from it and become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay. The word led that is written in Genesis 3:16 is translated from the Hebrew word yamashal. This word is listed on page 460 of volume 2 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Christopher Leo with page 1585 Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary. It shows this word means to lovingly guide, G-U-I-D-E, get tongue stuck. So this is what the word of Yahweh is saying. So Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this, you have brought a curse on all, both man and beast, and on all flesh on the ground. Your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away, and your eternal life will be taken away because of what you have done. Remember, cause and effect. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. You sin, you die. You walk in the ways of Yahweh, you live. Remember that. For you are an enemy of Yahweh, who with your followers have set yourselves to fight against me. The war in heaven, not a war of guns and bombs, but a war of words. Has Yahweh told you that really? For you are an enemy of Yahweh with your followers. For you have set yourselves to fight against me, causing enmity between you and my people. The house of Yahweh, between your seed and their seed. They shall overcome you by bringing you and your followers to utter and everlasting shame while you continue to do deceitful things behind their backs. Sneaky. To the woman he said, you must always work to teach your children all my words, the words of the law and my prophets. This is the way they should go, that they may become perfect as Yahweh is perfect. So when they get older, they will not depart from it, and they may live. As for you, your desire must be for your husband, for he is to be your guide. Write in the notes on this. Read Ephesians chapter 5. Read Colossians chapter 3. Read 1 Kefa chapter 3. It tells you, husbands, love your wives. It says in one place in King James that she's a weaker vessel. That doesn't mean that. In other words, if she's a righteous woman, she is submissive to Yahweh and to her husband. It means love your wives, because what is the second greatest commandment in the law? Is your wife not your neighbor, as well as your brothers and sisters, your children, everybody? Love one another as Yahweh loves you. That's what it's all about. Because, brothers, sisters, your fathers and mothers are your guide. Sisters who are married, your husbands are your guide. And brothers, if you're their guides, love them and treat them right. Teach them the ways of Yahweh and be kind unto them. That's what it's all about. That is what Satan didn't do, and that's why the war started. But this is the final result of one of these battles in that war. And as usual, Satan lost. And the house of Yahweh won. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I turn these services back over. Well, and not back over, but turn the service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now in the news, it's very important. In the first three articles that come out, it's going to show about the shootings taking place in Chicago at an all-time high. It's going to show disease running rampant through Los Angeles due to trash and just degradation of the human race or mankind. And then you're going to see in Kenya, where a river that used to flow through Nairobi, they used to fish in, how it's completely full of trash. And when they went to clean it out, they're finding dead bodies one after another. Now, the thing you have to realize in this is that man is doing this. This is done by choices. This is done by a neglect in keeping the law of Yahweh. But also realize, when you see the filth in these rivers and the filth in the street, keep in mind, that's what the inside of these bodies look like, too, of the people that are out there that aren't keeping the law, that aren't cleansing themselves. It's that filthy, and a proper decision can't be made in that kind of an environment. So keep that in mind, because as we go through that, then you'll see the infamous Bilderberg group who met this week. And the reason we want to show this is because Mike Pompeo and Jared Kushner were also there, and it dealt with economics. And if you remember, the economics is what Jared Kushner is pushing for the Palestinians with this, as Mahmoud Abbas calls it, a bribe, offering billions of dollars for a signing of a peace treaty. And keep in mind, Mahmoud Abbas is one person. He's the leader of Palestine, but there's a lot of pressure coming from people that want that money. They want the money, they want to be able to put it into their economy, and they want relief, because they know without it they're just going to see this continual war. And it's a false hope they're giving through this peace treaty, but it still shows they're going to do it. With that taking place also, the trade wars in China. If you don't remember that, Research Israel says, and you'll see where Pastor said these wars are going to start. Also, trade wars are going to be taking place at this very time. And he clearly shows that in the books of Israel. And these trade wars, watch what Vladimir Putin says, the president of Russia. He comes right out and says it without saying it. But we need to get rid of the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. He's talking about the petrodollar. We need to bypass that. We need to get around that. And we need to create something that's going to benefit everyone instead of this tyranny. And he refers to the United States controlling everyone with this dollar through sanctions. If you don't listen to this beast, as Revelation 13 says, you can't buy, sell, nor trade. And whatever you do, write down Revelation 6:6 and repeat this to yourself continually. You'll see where it was reported, RT reports it, the smell of freedom is known as OIL, oil. If you want freedom, you agree with the oil and the system that it's used to do so. And you see that in Venezuela also. But China and Russia coming out showing how they're joining together, just as Pastor's been bringing for all these years. Malachi Martin spoke about this, joining together to combat a power, a nation that is sanctioning everyone. So keep all these things in mind and remember the filth that's in the bodies of the people making the decisions too. They're not going to make a common sense decision until they come to this house and get guidance from those that are training under the one cent. Then sensible decisions can be made. But then a boss in the two-state solution, he had a reply back for President Trump where he could take his plan, and it'll say in the news where he said, but of course he's frustrated by the dealing that's taking place, all these things going behind the scenes. But also to show the importance of this and to show how the time period is close, you're going to see where Congress, Democrats, senators, and congressmen are now pushing in D.C. right now, Capitol Hill, for a two-state solution to be openly spoken about. So all of these things pastors brought, and we're seeing it all come together at this time in this age where you see disease at an all-time high, you see starvation, earthquake in place after place, we're in the midst of a seven-year agreement, as the great Kahan brought out, but we're soon to see this last 3.5 year start with this seven-year plan coming into a completion. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everybody would please stand, I'd like to introduce the one that told them all of these things before they actually brought it to pass. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Father, you see that? Oh, you're beautiful. Praise Allah. Praise Allah. Get me seated. What a beautiful day. May the peace the peace of Yahweh will be with each and every one of you. It's hard to get rid of that goddess name. I haven't got the Pope to change it yet either. He will though. The way things are going, they're going to have to shut that Vatican down. It's already on the way. So the House of Yahweh is going up and they're going down. I did say welcome home, I hope. This right here is a number that that's the only one I come up with is one smaller than that one. Now this was only a few months ago. And I say that and then somebody tells me, hey, Israel, that was 2 years ago. You know, but I don't think so. But anyway, if you remember the last one, I couldn't find the last one, the last two. House cleaners do that, you know. But this one right here is today. It's up to date. I'm going to cover this part right here where you can't see it right now. Can you see that?
Now, they say this just doesn't occur, you know, that many people, but Yahweh can do anything he wants to, and he's doing it, and he broadcasts it. Now watch, I'm going to move my fingers down. You see that number? 777. Now that this 777, that's 777,000 people that saw this. All 256,000 watched the whole show. that is the righteous women of old. They're tuning in there to watch. The righteous women of new, holy women of new. The comments was, I love you, I love you, I love you, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh, praise Yahweh. A lot of praises. The Pope, I almost hate to read this to you, but the United Nations heavily criticized the Vatican on Wednesday for what it said was a systematic adoption of policies allowing priests to rape and sexually abuse tens of thousands of children. You know, a religion is supposed to be teaching the people. And here's politics, you know, that's trying to teach the Pope and the Vatican, you know, that what you're doing is wrong. It's just backwards. The Vatican is teaching everything evil, and the people are seeing it. And then they come out, Pope Francis calls for a one world government with him as the head, you know. And of course, this is the government of the Nimrod system, a government of force, because no one would fall in unity with such a character as that, such a religion, an evil religion, where everything righteous is discarded. Catholic Church spent $10.6 million to lobby against legislation that would benefit victims of child sex abuse. A new report released Tuesday reveals that over the past 8 years, the Catholic Church has spent this much in the northeastern United States, in the northeastern United States, to fight legislation that would help victims, that they're raping, even murder. News there you saw is showing exactly what the prophecies show. Iran could have a functioning atomic bomb in 6 to 8 months, according to a former head of security at the International Atomic Energy Agency. And that's all the world has their mind on right now. This is coming, of course, from their teaching that they get in the Nimrod system. The academies. The India vows to go ahead with S-400 contract despite U.S. sanctions. They're wanting to be able to hold their own in case of a battle. Don't lose their whole country like some of the others have already. U.S. President Donald Trump on Thursday threatened to impose another round of tariffs on $300 billion worth of Chinese goods. Well, we've got a different story in the house of Yahweh. Now, I left off last week was talking about the holy women of New. Of course, the
We read when you get here to the feast, if you would try to read everything, read every sign. Start reading from the time you hit Abel Way. That is Abel Way. Abel Way. read the signs, and then read everything you get when you get here. Everywhere you look, there's something to read. If you notice, this is a great learning experience with, you know, while you're here these 3 days. We ended with this women last week. They're learning to get back what Hillel and Eve cast away. Now, that's what we're doing in the last days, and this is what the Scripture shows in detail. I can't cover the book of Hannah, in this time period, but I asked you to look at it. You probably didn't get much out of it the way it's written, but I'm telling you, it's a wealth of information. It tells you what Satan, what Hillel, the wife of Yahweh, if you're not familiar with that, please get the book, or you don't have to buy the book. You can read it online free. It's best to get the book so you can mark it and be able to teach what you learn. That's what marking books are for. That's what books are for, I think. You know, mark it so you can find what you want and teach it quickly. Genesis 3 in verse 14, we get a skimpy view of that, and the way the Scriptures are written, here a little and there a little, you have to know the book of Yahweh to see what they threw away and what Yahweh is telling you for your sake that you can get back. Well, of course, we've brought you back to this point. Got a ways to go here, but if I judged you right now, which Yahshua is doing, I would say that you're ready, because you've set your mind to do this. You're not looking back. You're not fearing. You're standing standing strong with the work of Yahweh. Turn there to chapter 3 and look at verse 14. That's where we left off last Sabbath. He said, "So Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this." If you picture Hillel and the setup she had, Jupiter, it said you could put, well, you know, you get several, but and I took a lengthy course of in astronomy to get some answers, and I got more questions. I told the teacher one day, I think I'll go back to the Scriptures. They're giving me more answers than I'm getting, you know, in the school. All it is, we're guesswork here. And he says, "You're right." He told me I was right in this, but he says, "I established you." Well, Jupiter, they say, will hold about a thousand Earths. One said 10,000 Earths, but 1,000 planets the size of Earth. That's a big place. And this was Hillel's setup, and she had all kinds of servants working with her, and some of them left with her. Others are going now. as it was brought out with the gematria, which backed up everything we wrote there. But if you look at that word there, he says, so Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are bitterly cursed yourself. You cursed yourself. You took all this away from yourself here that I set you up with. Not only this great kingdom that you had and the leadership that you had inside that kingdom, it would take a long time to ever outgrow that thing as big as it is, but she cursed herself. You see that word established, that established there? I established you over the living things, over all living things. I established you, Yahweh said. And I established you over all flesh on the ground. But your ability now to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away. You've lost it. You threw it away. It will no longer serve you. The things you have done here, the microorganisms that form huge kingdoms will no longer work for you. They'll no longer serve you. You can't call your sheep anymore. They won't recognize your call. This is the way Yahshua put it. You will go to your judgment. They put punishment there, but it's not punishment. You're judged. I'm giving you your judgment right now, Yahweh is saying. You will be destroyed. You set up your death sentence right here when you did this. Your own death sentence. Because that's what keeps you alive. What I set up and established with you is actually what would keep you alive. If you hold your place right there and look at that word again, established, okay? Established. I established you. You got that? Now hold your place and turn over to Micah. Micaiah. Micaiah 4. Now, in the last days, if you probably got it, I see smiles coming on your face. In the last days, Yahweh, they threw it away. The tree of life. The tree of life they rejected when they brought these sins into living. The microorganisms are not tuned to work in this kind of conditions. The microorganisms are crying out, we can't handle this. Right here on earth, we can't handle what's taking place. We can't guard your life anymore. This is what we see in the scriptures already. A flood has got to come. So in the last days, Yahweh says, it's been gone, the tree of life, all this time. No, it wasn't brought back during Yahshua's time. It's being brought back in his time of being high priest over the house of Yahweh. But not in, praise Yahweh. It wasn't brought back by the disciples. They laid a foundation for the house of Yahweh. That's you. The donkeys, that's going to be covered too next, tomorrow. Tomorrow. The donkeys. And the donkeys that we have in training today got their foundation from what the work that Yahshua did to bring forth this work in the last days. This work of establishing establishing. I established you, he says in Genesis 3:14. So here he says, now in the last days, I'll establish a group of people. His house established. He set her up, this word established here in Genesis 3:14. He set her up with a planet 1,000 times bigger than Earth. She could put a store inside that place. He established her, but he established her with ability. The scripture shows about 6,000 years he spent establishing this woman and probably some sons, and they left their first estate. This was no surprise, and of course, Yahweh had dealt with this thing for years, but he had to have this in order to establish you. And then he says, I'm going to lay you out before heaven and earth so the heavens can see this. I'm going to tell them everything I'm going to do, how I'm going to bring it about, and stop all your wars. Well, that's just the one thing you're going to stop, sickness and disease. You know, we're suffering like 1 million cases a day now of STDs. 365 days a year. 1 million a day. That's a lot of million cases. And from those are multiplying. Now that's what Yeshua said you was going to see in this time period right now. He foretold it before it ever took place. And these microorganisms that's causing diseases in men are also causing diseases in the microorganism kingdoms that govern the earth, that are set to help man, work for man, to work for Hillel, work for her sons, and they discarded them. That is, they showed them that they weren't loyal to them, and they actually hurt them, brought harm to the microorganisms where they can't protect and do their job. So as a result of that comes the death. Well, in the last days now, we see the tree of life again. And he says, I will establish you. Yahweh will be, the house of Yahweh will be established. Now, if you put that in Satan's place, Hillel, the wife of Yahweh, if you put that in her, in the terms of her establishment, you'll see what you're going to be put over right there. You see that? Beautiful, huh? Well, back to, praise Yahweh. Back to Genesis 3 now. So Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this, you will be bitterly cursed. I established you over all living things. That's what you're training for now. How does the holy women of old fit into that? Oh boy, Hannah, you're a beautiful woman. I'll get to it. You might be pondering this. I can't bring it. I might bring it by tabernacles, maybe, but I can tell you some things to look for. If you read it, probably all you got was that Peniah had a lot of children. Eli the priest did too. Hannah had no children, and she prayed for a child. and that's about it, right? Why was she wanting a child anyway? Why was she so eager to have a child? Hannah wasn't tore up because she didn't have any children. If anyone else had had a child at that time that was fit for bringing forth the Savior, but she did know the Scriptures, and she knew them well. And she knew that the Savior was going to come forth. You know where this was? Where it was taking place? Did you get that? Right inside the house of Yahweh. Yeah, boy. Shiloh, remember? Well, let me turn. I'm running out of time, I know, but look at Samuel. Turn over to Samuel. This was the house of Yahweh. Remember, Abel was righteous. He taught righteousness. Eve was righteous at one time. Eve was a very righteous woman at one time. There's no telling how much work that woman did in bringing forth before she got deceived into by our own teacher and supporter. She got deceived. And she didn't resist. You've got to bring in these other cases too. Here's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then you have one man, Yosef, out of 12. And he was put down in Egypt. They're all taken to Egypt. Now, one man, they showed, was fit to bring forth there, Yosef. And the queen, the Pharaoh's wife, this puts you up in Bill Clinton, White House. Now, this is what you're seeing now. This puts you up in the Pope, the Vatican, you know, raping babies. Some of the most evil things they're doing in the Vatican. And they want to be rulers of the world where they can't be prosecuted for what they do. Well, Yosef, how did he prove himself? She actually tore his clothes off of him. And he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't give in to what? Fornication and adultery. You know how many years we've fought to get it out of the house? Well, right here in 1 Samuel... In 1 Samuel, you'll see this is the house of Yahweh. These are the priests of Yahweh. What was Peninnah's children doing? Yes, it would have tore my heart out too to have seen this mess going on in the house of Yahweh. And Hannah could see it. And her whole life was a bitter mess because of what she saw. And no hope, she saw no hope of bringing forth a Savior from this mess right here that you read over. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it. Chapter 2, verse 22. Read it, everybody, read it. Let it set in your mind. See what a mess it was. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Now this comes down to just 600 years before Yahshua. And Hannah was looking in advance to somebody that would bring forth righteousness and a righteous person to pay for sins. If that prophecy wasn't fulfilled, there would be no house of Yahweh established in these last days. But it was fulfilled. And Yahshua is the high priest over this house. Jeremiah 23. Now here you see the great gathering is taking place right now. You see why there's so many people turning to this broadcast and seeing what Christianity is hiding from. Yes, they hide from the prophecies. They want to bring forth evil Santa Clauses, tell lies to their children, Easter bunnies laying eggs. It's just one big lie, one big pot of lies, one big pot of witch's brew. That they're all 4,199 religions are bringing forth. Well, Yahweh says here he's going to have a work, but I will gather the remnant of my flock, and it's going to be the greatest gathering that's ever taken place. And we're it. It's already started. It's right in front of your eyes. You should be able to see it taking place. Praise Yahweh. I look on down to what Jeremiah saw and what he was fighting against. What we started fighting against years ago to bring righteousness, a group of people, women and men, who would resist fornication, adultery, bestiality, sodomy, all the things that the Vatican is for. And Yahweh has done it. He's done it. And we got righteous teachers, holy women of new, which you're going to see more of that. People started calling me and saying, did you run this through the gematria or something? And I said, no, not me. But we're saying we're backed up with it. But this thing that you're seeing right here in Jeremiah's time, if you look on down there to verse 11, verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers. It was in Egypt. That's the Catholic religion. The Coptic Catholics of Egypt. Yosef didn't give in to it. They were his teachers, but he didn't give in to it. Yes, they had Abel was killed. No one notices when the righteous is taken away, Yahweh says. They don't know notice the evil coming in. And that's what took place in a very short time. The same evil that took place before the flood started taking place after the flood. And this has come down to Jeremiah here. And he says, the land, the whole land, this is the land that they came in to take over, that Yahweh promised them, where you'd have righteousness if you will keep my laws. The holy women of Nu are keeping his laws. The holy men of Nu are keeping his laws. Look at verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Even in my own house, I have found their wickedness. And he goes on to show that they're all worshiping the Lord in verse 13. Then in verse 25 and 26, 26 and 27, he said, they caused my people to forget my name for Baal. Yahshua said, I showed the 12 your name. Why on earth would he have to show the 12 his name at a late date like that? Why wouldn't they know that in Galilee? That's where he picked up his 12. They'd all forgotten. They caused them to forget. And they were going to Jerusalem to keep the feast. Our father said, in these mountains is the place we should worship. Remember? But now they say it's Jerusalem. is the place we should worship. Well, in Jerusalem, they teach you not to say the name. And they caused the people even as far as Galilee, because they were traveling there to keep the feast. So Yahshua had to show his 12 disciples the name Yahweh. Well, Jeremiah shows it in his time, just 600 years before Yahshua. Well, back to Hannah. Now, Hannah was bawling her eyes out because there was no righteousness in the house of Yahweh. Sure, Peniah had a lot of children. And what were they doing? I had you read it a while ago. A big mess. A filthy mess, just like Jeremiah had to put up with. Hannah saw it, and she started crying out, "Let me have a son. Please let me have a son. I will raise that son, and when he is weaned," the word weaned, oh, it has so much meaning, brother. You could study, you could bring sermons on top of sermons on this word, weaned. Hannah was promising Yahweh that if he would let her have a son, she would train him. She would train. This is what the holy women of New are doing. That's what they're doing now, and I'm crying for joy. "Let me have a son," she said, "and I'll train that son. I'll train him to resist evil. I'll train him to be a judge, a righteous judge over the house of Yahweh. And when I'm weaned him, when I've got him fully ready for service, I'll bring him to the house and I'll give him to you all the days of his service." Well, this is what you really get out of Hannah. There's a lot more to it than that, but what she was promising and what she fulfilled brought forth the Savior, Yahshua Messiah. She had other sons too. The beautiful picture that took place right there and went for several thousand years down to Yahshua and his family. And then Yahshua was specially trained. Very specially trained. Then he took his job in the world. He wouldn't yield. He wouldn't yield to sin. He was offered big time all the kingdoms of the world. And he knew the position that Hillel had. He knew how she was established. He knew this. And he paid great respect to this woman. But he resisted her offer, just like Yosef did in Egypt, just like Moshe did in Egypt. Moshe could have done the same thing. He had all this offered to him. You know who trained him? Remember who trained him? His mother. His mother trained him by lamp light. Yes, his mother trained him in the ways of Yahweh. And from that training, he was able to say, "No, I don't want this. I want righteousness. I want to bring forth righteousness." Well, of course, he brought forth these people. He brought them out of Egypt. He set them on the right track. Samuel's time, of course, when he got old, he had already set the pattern, though, and he had already had a generation of genes going that couldn't be moved. And this generation of genes that he had going came down to the Savior. But the training had to be there, or Yeshua wouldn't have been the Savior. That training that was actually given to Eve, the ability that was actually given to Eve to bring forth, that is, create and maintain, like was given to women, to women. Well, that's what you're getting back now. All of this, and it's coming from, it's going to come, not through force, but through teaching. Teaching and training. Hannah, you're a beautiful woman. You set an example for all of us. Like Nora. Nora wouldn't have risked her life if she hadn't have known that Yeshua was the Savior. You could tell she is studying the Scriptures. You could tell these things that was given in the beginning. Where'd they learn it? In the beginning. Yahweh gave it to them. He gave them that knowledge, that whole thing that we're studying now, calling the Book of Yahweh. Remember the pattern that's set on the sea of glass for all to see? It was there. And Yahweh brought it to Eve. He established Hillel to teach Eve. And then she turned bitter. She turned bitter. That's when Eve should have said, hey, wait, don't do this. She should have become the teacher. If you get the chance, if all of you get the chance to prove to Yahweh that you can do this, be sure and stand up for it. Don't even take a second thought of giving in to evil. I don't care who it's coming from. You can see priests turn sometime. Priests are influenced sometime. Or they get off on the right track, on the wrong track. And they get something in their mind, don't amount to much, but it raises hatred and arguments. So they either have to belittle themselves, put themselves down, humbly take this and take the lessons and the teaching again and again and again sometimes. I'm talking to the priest here. Don't let Satan pull you in. She's expert at this. I'm talking to the women too. But this is the only house of Yahweh in these last days. This is it. Praise Yahweh. We right now are being established as Satan was. We're being established to do this great work of creating and maintaining righteousness, creating and maintaining a righteous body of workers that will take over the whole universe, and they will rule as Yahweh rules. Now remember, Yahweh's glory is fully set. He writes down, he's having written down for all to see, and he laid it out to heaven and earth, and he said, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to make man in my likeness and in my image. I'm going to give him authority. No, there won't be any that's not made in my likeness and image get this authority. And Yeshua said also the same thing in Matthew 7. And then he tells you, you won't see me anymore until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And then he says, he quoted a scripture in Psalms 118, verse 26, that said, you're blessed out of the house of Yahweh. When? Not back in that time. They were receiving curses. Hannah, a woman, brought forth righteousness. She brought forth the blessing that brought forth Yeshua, who is now high priest over the house of Yahweh, in the last days I will establish my house. In the last day, the nuclear days. That's what Yeshua said it is. In Matthew 24:29, the last days, that's it. That's the only time it was taken away. Now it's brought back and offered to mankind. And the greatest gathering right now is taking place. You can be part of it. If you're not, you won't be too long. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.